And we start in Proverbs chapter 18. I want to just bring a lesson tonight. I hope it will be a help. Probably a reminder and maybe, I believe, a help if you apply some of these things. Proverbs chapter 18. You know, one of the most dangerous rescues there is to do, turn my thing on, okay, is to rescue a drowning person. Anybody know why? So someone's in the water, they're drowning. Why is it so dangerous to rescue someone like that? Mr. Matthews?
I took a course, and the guy that taught us said, they'll pull you down.
Exactly. Well, I tell you, someone that's drowning, they're panicking, aren't they? They can't get, you know, the water is entering their mouth and getting into their lungs. They can't breathe, right? They feel like they're going to die. And they're flailing and maybe, and trying to, and you go out there and rescue them. The danger is what might happen is they might actually start to pull you down because of their panic, and you yourself might drown. And a lot of times in an effort to survive, the drowning man or woman will grab a hold of the rescuer and push them down to pull themselves up so that they might get another breath of air. And a lot of times when you see stories of this, and as we enter summer, I'm sure we'll see stories of people that have tried to rescue someone who is drowning and they themselves perish. And so I want to, if title of the lesson, however, this is sort of neat. How about this? Beware of the drowning man. Beware of the drowning man. And I think that we can liken a certain type of person to this drowning man. A disgruntled, unhappy, unjoyful person is often like a drowning man. For whatever reason, they are dissatisfied, they're bitter, and they like to share their unrest and discontentment, their bitterness, with other folks. And sometimes they mean no harm. They're just sharing their burden, trying to find help, trying to find comfort, looking for someone to say, hey, I understand, someone to listen. However, oftentimes the complaining, the venting, whatever you want to call it, does the same thing as a drowning man would do to a rescuer. It takes the listener down along with them. The one listening may not know what it is to follow in the conversation. They may simply want to help. They say, I genuinely want to help. I want to console. But a lot of times the person who's trying to help, the person who's bitter or gossiping, they often hear and learn more than they should, and they themselves become affected. Making more yourself. Now listen, you become a listening post for someone who's a gossip or is bitter or is dissatisfied. A lot of times you begin to have the same type of attitude, the same type of spirit as the person that you are listening to. And boy, I tell you, doesn't take much for complaining and gossiping and murmuring to spread like some sort of infectious disease, huh? Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
Boy, blah, 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 blah. And that next person just gets bitter and they take that one side. And we're going to look at some scripture here to talk about it. And a lot of times the person that's complaining, the person that's murmuring or grumbling, their feelings are soon shared by those they talk to. And so, you hear common traps like, maybe that person at work is lazy and making us do all the work like the other person said, right? You're sitting there at work, you're gossiping about another worker, and now two people think this person's lazy and making everybody work harder. Maybe someone comes up and says, so-and-so said that they think this person stole whatever at school or whatever at church. And now everyone or other people begin to think that about a friend or someone that we know. Sometimes you'll listen to someone complain about their husband or their spouse, right? And you start to think, well, maybe my spouse is that way, right? Maybe my husband's doing that or my wife's doing that. Sometimes you'll hear it at church, well, things just ain't like they used to be at church, and I think it's because so-and-so, or the pastor, or the deacon, or brother, or sister so-and-so, and that, and this, and our problems are really their fault. whether they are or not. They'll tell sometimes, well, so-and-so looks like they're hiding something. They have to be guilty. He looks suspicious. I don't think I trust him either. You're right. They do look suspicious. Opinions, observations, we listen to them. And oftentimes they do some damage, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Sometimes just what we say unintentionally can hurt. Oftentimes we listen because we want to help. Not all the time. A lot of times we become inadvertently, I think a lot of times it's inadvertent, it starts innocent. You know, you just want to listen and understand and, you know, console and, well, yeah, boy, that's horrible. I can't believe they did that to you. Understand this, there's always two sides to that story. When I was a principal at a Christian school, one lesson they taught us was, remember, every time you talk to a child and they bring bad news or talk about something going on at home or some situation in school, it's always slanted news.
Yep.
Always. Right? You, Sister Manny, your kids are never like that, right? They never sort of make it look like, but Tim, your kids don't do that where they make it look good for them. Right? They're never at fault, right? Oh. Right, Sister Vanessa? I didn't do anything wrong. Who's this other boy? I couldn't believe it either, Mom. I mean, I was just so innocent. Couldn't do anything. Oh, the smart person realizes, I think there's two sides to this story. Jesus himself said it in John 7, verse 51. Just a couple scriptures we're going to look at. He said this, he said, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? He's saying, isn't the law, I mean, the law does that, right? It doesn't pass judgment until it hears both sides of the story. The accuser and the accused. Before it passes judgment. In Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. Again, you look at what God has laid out in His law. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, the Scripture says this. It says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. And any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. John 8, 17, another scripture. It says this, it says, it is also written in your law that the testimony of what? Two men is true. One last scripture here, 1 Timothy 5, verse 19. 1 Timothy 5, verse 19, the Bible says this. It says, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before what? Two or three witnesses. When you are listening to someone, recognize this, that there are two sides to every story. You want to stop gossip in its tracks, you grab that person and say, you know what? Let's give them a call right now. Let's go talk to them right now. Well, I just wanted to vent a little bit. Well, what you're telling me is jading my view of that person.
Yes.
Be very careful now. Listen, that includes women or men. If you're talking about your spouse, be very careful. You know, I've had different situations, not necessarily here. You know, where one spouse will come and begin to sort of gripe about their other spouse and. And I've come to realize in my first part of my ministry, I thought, I'd get all riled up. Oh, what a rotten person that is. And then I began to realize really quickly there's always two sides to the story. Takes two to tango, as they say, right? And, I began to say, well, you know, what we really need to do is we need to bring them in and we need to just discuss that. And so be very careful. I know, sometimes you just want to, I do a little griping and complaining, but that's not scriptural either. The Bible says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number two. If someone's talking to you, I think another thing to ask yourself, another question is this. Number one, am I hearing both sides of the story? If not, I need to get to that. Number two, why are they telling me? Why are you telling me this? What can I do to help you. Mm-hmm. I see this a lot in the church. You know, I've had people come to me, well, so-and-so said this about the church. I said, why did you listen? I said, can you do anything to help them? Well, I could come to you. I said, well, why don't you have them come to me directly? And then you know what? We cut out the middleman. We save everybody money. And grief. And heartache. Right? I had that happen just a few, a year or so ago, you know? They came to me and I said, you know, have you heard it from so-and-so? Oh, yes, they really have some problems with the church. And I'm like, really? Oh, yes, I really can't go into them with you. I said, well, what role do you have here? Right? You're nothing more than a gossip. You're nothing more than an enabling gossip. You know, the truth of it is, can I change, and really here's a question you ought to ask yourself, as you're listening to someone, can I change the situation for them? Can I help? Are they simply gossiping and backstabbing and complaining, or do they want me to help them handle a situation? Most of the time, someone just wants to gossip. Someone just wants to complain. Someone is just interested in backbiting. They're not really wanting you to fix it. And as a Christian, you know what? We ought to go as far as we can from that type of activity. Amen? Amen, amen or oh me. go to Proverbs chapter 6. Well, Lord's sure against it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth what? Discord among the brethren. That's exactly what that is. You know, whether it be in the church, whether it be in your home, whether it be at school, whether it be at work. Listen, I'll tell you this. At the church, it's easy. If it's something about the church, more than likely, they need to just come to the pastor. And that's what you ought to say to them. Say, well, I don't really have any business hearing this. Have you talked to pastor? Well, he just doesn't listen. That's hogwash. Right? I've been in churches where to get to try to talk to the pastor is like talking to the king. Yeah, you can't hardly approach him, right? You know, and if you do, it's, oh, dear pastor, may I talk to you for a moment? I really work hard. I don't want to be that kind of pastor. Right? You've got to probably come to me and say, Pastor, even if it's a question, you say, Pastor, it probably is nothing, but I need to ask you a question. That's the right way to handle it.
Yes.
Right? But for Christy to go to Vanessa and say, well, you know, I've got a real problem with what the pastor's doing. That ain't helping Vanessa. Vanessa can't solve it. Right? I can solve it. For Vanessa, or for Brother Tim to go to Brother Robert, and I'll pick on Brother Robert's not here, and say, you know, I just don't like Brother DJ. Well, you know what? Go to Brother DJ and tell him you don't like him. Settle it. Man, we're Christian brothers. We need to get this out. Make it right. Be open. Be unified. You know, I tell you. Talking about the ungodly, the wicked, what is one of the characteristics of a wicked man? Well, they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they what? Speak. They're two-faced, don't they? Mm-hmm. Go, if you would, to Psalm 34, verse 13. You said, Pastor, what are you trying to get at? I'm trying to say this. Why would you want to participate in someone else's sin? Shut it down. Yeah. Proverbs 34, 13, look what it says now. And I'm just trying to give you some tools, some questions to ask yourself. Number one, am I getting both sides of the story? If you're not, it's probably not something you ought to be listening to. Number two, is this just gossip? What can I do to help? If I can't do anything to help the situation, if I can't do it, and a lot of times you can't, right? Then you know what? I'm not going to participate. Psalm 34, 13, the Bible says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking what? Guile. Well, I don't want to be a part of that. Go to Psalm 120. Verse 2. You say, well, Pastor, it's true. It don't make it not gossip.
That's
right. Psalm 120, verse 2, the Bible says, deliver my soul, Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Got to watch our mouths. Number three, all right? So we got two questions to ask ourselves. Number one, what's the first question, Elizabeth? Am I hearing both sides of the... Try it again. Sit up so I can hear you real nice and loud. Am I hearing both sides of the... Andrew? Am I hearing both sides of the... If I'm not hearing both sides of the story, I probably ought not be listening. Number two. What's the second question? Why are you telling me this? Right?
Yeah.
What can I do to help, really?
Yeah.
If I can't help, if there's no real good reason you're telling me this, then guess what? I probably ought not be listening. Well, how do I get out of that situation? Well, there's a couple ways. How do I get out of that situation, Will? If someone's coming to you and talking bad about Cole to you, and it's really nothing you ought to be hearing, how can you change that situation? What's that? Well, I'd grab that person. If old Tim here, come here, Tim. You're going to be the gossip. Old Tim here is talking bad about Cole. You know, Cole this, Cole that. What can you do? Let's pretend Cole's not right next to you here. What could you do? Practice. Well, Tim, let's go talk to Cole about that. What do you think Tim will do when you go say, hey, let's go talk to Cole? You think he'll want to go talk to Cole? No, he'll run like a little coward that he is. All right? Most gossips are cowards. You realize that, right? They don't have the guts to talk to the person themselves, and they just go backbite. All right, what's another way you can handle it? Emma? Let's say Elizabeth comes up to you and starts talking bad about Cadence. What's the other thing you could do? You could tell her, you know, I'm not going to talk about that. Right? What else could you do, Elizabeth? You could change the topic, right? Hey, how about that baseball? How about the Cubs? Yeah, there you go. How about the weather? Right, Elizabeth? Huh? All right, let me give you number three. Just trying to be a help to you. All right? I honestly don't. Really not prompted by nothing in our church right now, just the Lord. All right? Number three is what... The third question is this. Let me say this correctly. Is what is being said edifying? What does it mean to say something is edifying? Cole, do you know what that word edify means? Edify means, Cole, to build up. Is this encouraging me? Is this helping me? Is this making me a better Christian? If it's not, should I be listening to it? Probably not. Is what is being said edifying? Is it destructive? Or will it reinforce the problem to them and make us more miserable? That's really what happens. When you listen to someone complain about another, it just makes everybody, it makes more people. That's again, beware of the what? What kind of man? What kind of man? Beware of the drowning man. Right? Because that's a gossip, a drowning man. And they're miserable. You know what they're trying to do? When you go in there and try to wade in and help them and say, well, I'm going to rescue them, I'm going to listen to their problems, I'm going to try to help them. You know what's going to happen? They're going to grab you. That's right. And you're going to go right down there in the mud with them, and guess now we have two drowning men. We've got two people bitter. We've got two people that are miserable. And then you've got two people reaching out, trying to pull other people in. Right? Oh, you know, and everybody wants to help, but I tell you, the only way to help them is rebuke them.
Yes.
Only way to help them is to stand against it. And say, you know what, brother, you need to get right with the Lord. You know what, sister, you need to get your heart right. Oh, man, God give us some holy boldness here and courage, amen? Is what is being said going to help or change anything, or is it just gossip? Let's look at two scriptures for this one. Psalm 140, and look at verse number 3. There are people like this, the Bible describes them, and you hear the description of their tongue. Proverbs 140, verse 3, the Bible says, again, violent, evil men, he's talking about here. He says, they have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips, Selah. Some people are just like that. Boy, they've got poison tongues. They're like a snake, right? We were out on Friday, and Mom found a rattlesnake. It wasn't a rattlesnake. Anyway. She said, "Oh, it's a rattlesnake! I think it's poisonous!" I had to go, you know, I went and got my rake and my stussy shovel, and I'm like, "All right, I'm big, tough dad. I'm going to kill that bad rattlesnake and save my woman." It was a bull snake. It was a long one. Probably not. But you know, well, I'll tell you that, all joking aside, how many want to get bit by a snake? Oh, man. You ever seen a rattler's fangs?
Yeah.
You know, they do. I was watching a video in Texas, and it's only happened in Texas because they're crazy down there. Amen, Brother DJ? And they actually have a rattlesnake roundup. You know what they do? They go and they round up hundreds and thousands of rattlesnakes and throw them in a big pit. And then they milk them. And then they kill them and eat them. Now, I don't know about you. You watch that video of milking a rattlesnake, man, their fangs. Could you imagine getting bit by one of those? And it's fast like that. Woo, you don't even know it's going to happen. I'll tell you, that's how some people are. Yeah, they got poison tongues, poison lips. What they're telling you ain't helping, rather it's poisoning you. Look at one other scripture. Go to Proverbs 17, verse 9. I'm almost done. I got two more, I think. I'm sorry, three more. Proverbs 17, look at verse number 9. He that coveteth her transgression seeketh what? Love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth what? Very friends. There's some honor. Now, I'm not talking about covering up sin. What it's talking about is me and a brother, we got a problem. If I love my brother, I'm not going to sit there. Great problems. Let's finish up here. If a good solution... Here's a good way. If you give someone a good solution that'll solve their problem and they won't stop grumbling and complaining and murmuring, they're not looking for your help.
That's right.
You ever done that? Yeah. Well, blah, 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 blah. Well, why don't you just do that? Well, blah, 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 blah. Why don't you do that? Blah, 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 blah. They don't care. They don't want your help. They just want to infect you. They're what? Beware of the what, Elizabeth? Beware of the drowning man. They're trying to pull you down with them. Oh, come on down here where the misery is fine. And the bitterness is cold.
Yeah.
You say, oh, there's some scriptures there? Oh, yes. Go to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 9. And a lot of good scripture. Are you kids getting this? Are you listening to William? Are you getting a hold of this, William? William, you getting a hold of this? All right, good. What about you, Dave? You getting a hold of this? All right, good. Proverbs 23:9, the Bible says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the what?" Where's the wisdom? You give someone a wise solution and they don't want to hear it, guess what? They're a fool. And you ought to run away.
Yes.
I know what you are. And you're not no friend of mine. Look at Proverbs 9, verse 8. Proverbs 9, verse 8. I know we're hitting a lot of scriptures, and I appreciate you following along tonight. The Bible says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will what? Love thee." You know what a good idea? You know what shows someone's wise? If you're able to go to them and say, "Hey, this is wrong, and I think you ought to correct this." If they say, you know, they may get a little sideways because of the pride of our hearts sometimes. But ultimately, if they say, "You know what, you're right," that's a wise person. A scorner... One who doesn't want, one who only believes in themselves and wants nothing to do what is right, will hate you. Well, who are you to tell me what to do? And I'll tell you, if someone's talking to you and you give them a solution, if you're undecided whether it's gospel or not, and you say, "Well, here's a good solution. Let's go talk to pastor about it," or "How about we go and talk to so and so about it?" And they got a problem. Guess what? They're just wanting to gossip. Another good question, another good thought. All right, let me give you two more and I'm done. Number five, question for yourself. Why am I listening to them? Am I doing it to be a help, or do I just want to hear the dirt? I have to admit, there's been times I've listened because I want to hear the dirt. Sometimes preachers get that way, right?
Oh, yeah.
Amen, Brother Matthews?
Yeah.
Right? Well, Brother so-and-so, well, pray for them, you know, just... And there's nothing I can do to help.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not really concerned about praying. We just want to hear the dirt. What about you? If someone comes to you and begins to say something that is unfavorable to another person, why are you listening? Check your own motives. Are you listening because you know you really want to be a help, or do you just want to hear the dirt? I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10, it's probably because you want to hear the dirt.
Yeah.
That's just our fleshly nature. We like to... And you know, we'll say, well, why is that, Pastor? I'll tell you why. Because hearing bad about others makes you feel good.
That's right.
Well, I don't have that problem. Aren't I good? You say you got a scripture for that? Oh, man, I do. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 29. Man, some things that ought to be a part of the new nature found here in Ephesians chapter 4. What does it say here? It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know what ought to happen? The type of language we ought to speak and the type of language we ought to listen to ought to be edifying language that gives grace.
Amen.
That builds up. That favors others. Let me give you this last point. The last thing to ask yourself is what I'm listening to, the grievances, the voicing of these grievances, the venting, bring confusion and division? Does it bring negative things to others? Then guess what? Their beef's probably not of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse 33. For God, now of course, Paul speaking here to the carnal Corinthian church, what a mess that place was. And boy, they were all talking out of turn and not following orderly principles. And God, he said this about God. He states this principle about the Lord. For God is not the author of what? Confusion. But of what? Peace. As in all churches of the saints. You know what? A lot of times that gossip, is it bringing peace? No, it's riling you up, isn't it? It's dividing. That ain't God. It doesn't matter how spiritual they sound. If it's causing division amongst the church, if it's causing division and confusion and it's not bringing peace, do what you need to do. Rebuke them, walk away, change the subject, grab them, go to the preacher. I don't care what you got to do. Deal with it. And I know that some of the scriptures here weren't necessarily, but they're just showing the idea, the principle. I like it. Little, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes songs run through my head and remind me of good biblical principles. One being a real simple children's song, William. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Right? Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say, for your Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth. Right? Well, be careful, little ears. What you hear? Oh, you say, well, Pastor, I wasn't doing the gospel. I just listened to it. You're just as guilty. Hear me now. It's natural. It is natural to want to listen to the help. It really is. I mean, I don't begrudge anybody that. I'm that way. I'm a pastor. My job is to listen. A lot of times, you know, people will have this, we just need to have... I'll just sit there and listen. You know, it helps. But a lot of times, we actually do a disservice to people. And if we ask ourselves these questions and say, you know what, judge our motivations, judge what's going on, we can then say, you know what, is what is happening honoring to God? And if not, I don't want any part of it.
Yes.
You kids, now listen to Pastor. I know y'all are warm, and I appreciate you sitting up and listening. Listen now. This is important to you. As you youngins, Cole, listen to Pastor. As you youngins grow up, there's going to be more and more temptation to talk bad about one another. Are you hearing me? Or maybe talk bad about your parents. Are you hearing me? Is that of Jesus? No. You know, if you're a good friend, Cole comes to, if William comes to you and starts talking bad about a parent or a brother or someone else in the church, you know, if you're a good friend, you'll do this. You'll say, now, William, that's the gossip. Won't he? And won't listen to it. Are you hearing me, Dave? I want you kids to grab a hold of this, that you might honor the Lord in your conversation.
Yes.
Amen. Us adults, too. I know you said, Pastor, get those kids. Yeah! You know where the kids learn it?
Yep.
Amen. Oh, me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time together tonight. What a blessing it is to gather, to study your word. Father, thank you for giving us a place to meet. And thank you for those that could be here today. Bless those that are traveling. Brother Robert, especially, as he's there in Florida, keep him safe from the storm. And I pray you'll be able to make it home safely and on time. Be with Rick and as he is here for the funeral. Thank you, Lord, for showing mercy to his dad and Lord, having him come to know you. And it's never too late. Thank you for showing your grace upon that family. And I pray you bless the funeral upcoming, that there be ample opportunity to share the gospel with those who might be lost. I pray as well for our brothers and sisters that are missing today, and Charlie as he travels back, and the Millers and the Ertels and others, Lord. Our brother Matt as he's working. Just keep them in your grace. Bless us, Lord, and I pray that, Father, if you give us another opportunity to meet again, Father, we look forward to that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's be dismissed. Lord bless you. You girls going to practice your song tonight? I'd like you to practice again tonight. Just a couple times. That way you get...